ritualism, and are found in many different beliefs over periods of time. It must be fair to say, however, that the dweller on the threshold was never as popular as the guardian angel. But it was something that also played a part in man's moral life, because if good protected him, evil dishonored him. And the most important point was that death did not end either. In some mysterious way, what we are survives life on this material planet. Therefore, the idea that we could escape by becoming eternally unaware, if we would simply cease to exist, was something that the ancients couldn't contemplate without asking certain relevant questions. One was, if it is possible, or if it is inevitable, that we cease, then there is really no explanation for why we exist at all. There is no possible idea, sensible to man, that even in his own limited perspective he contemplates, that would put a situation such as we have here and end it with oblivion. We can't imagine the long and painful years of living, the consecrations and dedications, the virtues and the vices, the values and the mistakes, that all ends in nothing. The human mind just couldn't contemplate that. It required a scientific education to be an atheist. Without that, you just can't make it. But if there is something beyond, then that something is worth thinking about. It's also worth striving to understand. And in about the early 17th century, we had the rise of a great Christian mysticism, a mysticism which was gradually secularized, but which began undoubtedly in the early church itself. In this mysticism, there were contemplations and thoughts. We had experiences such as those of Emanuel Swedenborg. We had the rise of spiritism in many forms, and finally of spiritualism itself. All these things were man reaching for hope. During World War I, a great many families were disrupted by the loss of a loved one. Immediately, there was a rise of interest in spiritualism. Arthur Conan Doyle, Sir Oliver Lodge, and others spearheaded a revival of spiritualistic phenomena because of loss and pain, because of man trying to understand why the problems of sorrow should be brought to the earth by man's own conniving, why he should make for himself tragedy and involve others in it. So the whole problem of the guardian angel finally summarizes in man's infinite need something to help this sadness, this deprivation from which so many suffer. And this type of thing is especially noticeable probably in the older age groups. So many older people live alone. So many are disillusioned, embittered. Many live with their griefs day and night. Others try to forget everything, and always before them is a curtain, a veil, through which they must sometime pass. Without something to help in this, it is inevitable that the human estate would not be glorified. But the answer does seem to be in the realization that there is something. There is something there to protect us. Something there for us to understand and to do something about. And little by little, it was introduced into the fact that in some way, this guardian angel could communicate with us. Communicate with us actually, even though we couldn't see it and didn't know very much about it. We felt its guiding influence. We felt that when we were in trouble, it sort of stood by and tried to show us a way out. It was there on cases of temptation. It was there to wag its finger at us, more or less reprovingly, when we used bad words. Actually, there was something that was another kind of parent, something that would correct our faults, protect our virtues, and be there when most needed. So we began to think about it a little bit, and finally we gave this thing a name. And I think that probably this name problem is the key to the whole thing. We said that the guardian angel communicated with mankind through conscience. That some mysterious way, conscience was a being, an entity. And that entity was constantly there to help. That somewhere in our known natures there was a realization of good and evil that was superior to dogma, theology, or the vicissitudes of an inconsistent economy. Somewhere in us there was something that said, oh, don't do it. Or on another occasion, you can't say that, it isn't true. And if you go against this guardian angel, they said that it wept. Well, conscience weeps. Because sometimes conscience weeps for a lifetime over one mistake. We do not get over completely the evils that we commit or the problems that we cause for other people. And we can't hide it from the guardian angel. And how could we hide it from our own conscience? Therefore, in many ways, it would appear that the guardian angel is a symbol and an embodiment of the power of the human soul. That in the soul is something that is born with us, that's with us all our lives, that God grows up with us, and after death goes on to testify to us. This sort of made a bit of sense with some of the more modern constructive psychotherapists, that in a mysterious way there was something. That there is something in each individual that is better than the rest of him. It is not fair just to simply call it God. It is too abstract. It is true that God bestows life and is the final source of all. But the good life seems to come to those who make certain additional contributions to their own salvation. The good life is for those who some way find a way of truth in the midst of all these difficulties. So this conscience becomes the symbol for, as it says in Hamlet, for conscience doth make cowards of us all. Every time we outrage conscience, we suffer. Every time we go against it, we regret it. And yet, in many cases, conscience is something we would love to forget. We wish we could go against it, because it interferes with so many things that we want to do. But what are the things that it interferes with? We now realize more and more that the things it interferes with are things that we should not do. And that the idea that it is simply a disciplinarian for no good reason, that it is a tyrant, simply cannot be sustained. It is also true that conscience is forever growing in a mysterious way, or appears to be. Whether it is actually growing is not so certain. Perhaps it is manifesting itself a little more all the time. Because things that we might have done at one stage of life without feeling a bad conscience become the source of conscience regrets if we grow older and commit the same actions. And if in any way the conscience does get adversely used, then we realize that there is a support in society for conscience. That conscience is tied into our legal codes, into our ethics, our morality, and all of our human relationships. It is tied into our sacraments and the qualifications of faith. It is bestowed in the problems of baptism, and it is with us in the last moment of extreme unction. The conscience is right there. And if we do really believe that it is there, and is our power of right, and is our ever-present strength in time of trouble, then it becomes a very valuable and important part of ourselves. Also, there seems to be some relationship between conscience now and conscience in the past. We seem to be born into this world on different degrees of conscience levels. Some have a higher standard of what is right than others. Some have one virtue, some have another virtue. And in religion particularly, the education of these virtues can be largely sectarian. Some religions consider virtues other things that we and other faiths believe to be vices. So conscience is related intimately to our own needs, our own degrees of understanding, our own insights into values, and the immediate problems that we must face on our own social levels. So let's assume for a moment now that conscience has become, say, the voice of the guardian angel. And it certainly can well be considered as such, because we know that these impulses arise. And we realize socially and other ways that when we go against them, there is trouble. Now, if we go against them, this other little problem of the guardian on the threshold will come into focus. Once we begin to deceive or corrupt our integrities, it becomes easier and easier. And false guidance comes to us. A false guidance which is largely the result of the pressure from the outside, so that we divide between the guardian angel and the guardian on the threshold in this way, that one, the guardian angel, represents the descent of spiritual grace. The other, the guardian on the threshold, is a false concept or false standard of integrity that is built upon the contamination by worldliness. So one is a contamination and the other is a regeneration. The contamination part becomes more and more common. But as we watch around us, we see that it is always a spirit of decline. It is always something that is destroying rather than helping. We realize how war destroys, how crime destroys, how degeneracy destroys. And we know that the appetites to these things do not originate in God, nor do they originate in the good angel or the guardian angel. They are the testimonies of the external sensory perceptions in cases where the individual has never learned to control himself. They represent the pressures of the animal instincts which still lurk within the human constitution. So it all sums up now to one general conclusion, that at least in part, the guardian angel is a symbol of the human soul. The soul itself is that power of good which determines our integrities, which guides us and leads us through the issues of life. The soul is something that we can all depend upon. We can depend upon it for all of the strength that is necessary to face the problems of the day. We are never without proper guidance. We are never without the ability to find the way to do things. Now, the Egyptian has a little classification here that was rather intriguing. That in a sense that the human soul is really sevenfold. And the mortal dweller on the threshold is also sevenfold. In other words, the Egyptians believed that man himself had seven souls. And that after death, six of these souls gradually die. But the seventh soul is eternal and goes on to the next embodiment, is reborn, and continues to be the reborn guardian soul in the new life. The seven souls of good represent the seven cardinal virtues of the church. They represent the seven integrities that are regarded as the basis of acceptability in the sight of God. Each of these has its own areas, and it becomes obvious that in the course of evolution, some of these virtues either no longer are effective or are transformed in some way. The lower virtues that belong to the physical life, of course, are the ones that die first because we do not take them so far into the other life. We do not go against them, but we no longer need them. And finally, the radiance of the great soul principle itself absorbs the 7 degrees of its own nature and becomes a shining mystery, a spiritual planetarium in which the 7 stars of the ancients shine in the structure of the human soul. The soul, therefore, has its controls, its divisions, its subdivisions. And in some instances, the ancients believed that there were several guardian angels assigned to each person for various reasons. For example, supposing this person had decided to become a priest, the guardian angel would be therefore able to select a priestly guardian for that life. Another one wished to be an artist, and in addition to the natal daemon, as it was called, there was a special angel appointed to perfect beauty in the life of that person. All beautiful and good things come from beings and not from circumstances or incidents. That which is, as one ancient said, that which is great enough and strong enough to bring a man to his knees in the presence of a great painting is not dead, it is alive. Beauty is a living thing. Beauty is a part of the soul. All parts of the good in man are soul powers. And those that go against these soul powers lose or are deficient and gradually drop back again to a comparatively animal level of existence. The soul, therefore, is the substance of the good, the beautiful, and the aspiring. As we have said on some occasions before, when Stradivarius was asked how he happened to make violins, he replied, "God made Antonio to make violins." And in this concept of the guardian soul, when the soul comes into life, it is supposed to have the power to select within a certain range what it will do with life after it gets here. It chooses its own career and faces the problems before they occur. And if he decides, like Stradivarius, to make violins, a great artist, a great musical muse, a great musical sibyl will come with him to guide him through his years. Not only because of his need, but this is a service performed by the guardian angels, because in their coming and helping the individual to fulfill his own greatness or his own needs, they are also contributing to the glory of the world and all that is necessary for the perfection of human endeavor. Whoever the guardian angel was that watched over Michelangelo served all mankind. But the ancients believed that definitely this was a spirit, and that this spirit would only come when truth prevailed, that it would only come and give beauty when integrity was there. And there is a story of a couple of art critics wandering through the Luxembourg Gallery in Paris, and they came upon the works of an artist, and they studied them, and they worked it over, and finally one of them said, "This is an exceptionally fine painting." And the other one said, "Yes, it is his greatest work, because he was in love when he did it." And this was again the angel, because if the love was sincere and pure, the angel was there to help. So all through the integrities of things are the stories of the guardian angels. And I think it might be very wonderful if somewhere along the line someone would take this concept and write something about it into a small child's book, a book for little children, a book of fairy tales, for tales that in which the fairies are the powers of the human soul, in which the child is given an idea that the love in it, the love that may make it love a doll, is also part of a great love principle that exists in nature, and that this principle, like all others, is alive. It is not simply something that comes out of nothing. It is one of the divine births of God. For it is said in the ancient Kabbalah and in other works that when God formed all things in his own likeness, he formed many things in his likeness that are invisible, because those parts of himself are invisible. but that everything in the world, whether it is visible or invisible, has conscience, has laws, has principles. Sometimes these principles are revealed only by the stratifications of a tree or the fission of a gem. Sometimes they are in the mother love of the tiger for its cubs. Whatever it is, but it is part of a universal process that overshadows the physical concerns of life. Now, at this season of the year, we are coming towards a season especially sacred to over a billion human beings. This season is one in which the concept of the guardian angel may be most interesting, for nearly always the Annunciation was represented as bestowed or communicated by the angel Gabriel. Actually, the vision of what was to come, the divine message, comes to us not from the outside, but through the inner part of our own nature. And the soul is definitely the link between the invisible causes of things and their visible consequences. The soul, if studied scientifically, may be a problem in vibration. The vibrations of things tell their virtues and their vices. Therefore, if a negative emotion or attitude arises, damage is done in the magnetic fields of the human body. We are all living on vibration in one form or another. We may call it energy, we may call it vitality. But actually, vibration is the source of our lives. It maintains everything that can possibly happen, and its rates change as we change. Vibration changes with every thought that comes into the mind. The study of the magnetic fields of bodies proves conclusively that the moment an individual becomes selfish, the light around him changes, and one who can see that light knows the selfishness has moved in. Now, selfishness, of course, is toxic. All negative vibrations are toxic. Everything that we shouldn't do and we insist on doing is a damage to the whole composite nature with which we were endowed. Everywhere, however, where a noble or beautiful thought is fulfilled, the vibration clears, the lights brighten, the soft glows continue, and in a strange way, every cell in the human being feels better. It is better because the magnetic field is wrapping it in light and not in darkness. So it is the right of every creature and every being to improve for the sake of its own peace of mind, its own health, its own success in life. And the vibrations of the guardian angel can reach out into our physical existence also. The guardian angels makes us better to live with, kinder in our works. They give us more patience, understanding. They have visions of better things than we would normally contemplate. And all through the years of life, if we follow the footsteps of this spirit guide, so to say, we will achieve a great deal more. The guardian angel, of course, is not a deceased relative. It is not a spiritualistic phenomenon. It is not something that simply carries on from the other side, a continuance of this material life. This is another type of spiritism entirely. The guardian angel is part of the causal nature of existence. It is part of the infinite plan in which we live. And so if we can, on these occasions, understand this, it may help us to also appreciate more completely the wonderful season of Christmas in which we are now coming. A Christmas which is being blurred and damaged because we are not listening to the voices of conscience. We are not really trying to do what the guardian angel would have us do. Now, it's a grave question as to whether the guardian angel is much interested in prosperity or is much interested in extravagant gift-taking or making. It would not be this at all. The guardian angel's rejoicing comes with thought, with love, with sincerity, with devotion, with self-sacrifice in causes greater than ourselves. The guardian angel doesn't want us to give something we have. It wants us to give something we are. It wants us to share a life with someone or with something, to reach out and touch that which is in pain or sorrow and do something about it. The guardian angel becomes the spirit of charity, and which is just one of its attributes, one of the virtues which it represents. And everything that is beautiful, everything that is good, finally, in its source, becomes an aspect of this mysterious being, this power of good that lives with us, works with us, suffers with us. And there are old pictures and old symbols showing the guardian angel weeping because of the failure of the person to accept the challenge of integrity. And other countries and other parts of the world have found different ways of representing these powers, but all in all, there are not too much difference in them. They are impelling the person constantly to the accomplishment of something. It is the guardian angel that impels some people to become members of the clergy. It is the guardian angel that makes some people be parents and good members of a family. And it is the guardian angel also that wants to see that the little one born into the world is born into a happy and loving family. It wants to have the parents feel its presence from within themselves. The true father and mother will be the one whose impulses and urges are those of the guardian angel, that they have accepted the guidance and guardianship of a life. All these very sensitive, gentle things belong to a way of life that's hard for us to understand. And it's also very difficult for us not to assume that these things are antique or moribund, or that they don't exist anymore, that we're not expected to do these kind of things. They all belong to the past. Well, there are a number of ways in which the past, in a strange way, was more beautiful than the present. Now, we all know that in the great evolutionary course of things, the past was necessary, that we had to leave it behind. But there is no reason why any of us at any time should leave behind anything that is good that was ever in the world. Because all this good is locked within the concept of the guardian angel. It brings with us the wisdom of the past. It gives us the insights and the moralities and the integrities of long ago. It bestows the impulses to dedications, to self-sacrifice. It creates the people like Mohandas Gandhi. It also creates the Abraham Lincolns. These are people living by virtue of the soul within them. Each one has gradually revealed out of its own life the workings of the guardian angel. And all guardian angels, when they work, transform people into guardians also. The guardian angel was the power that manifested itself in Lincoln when he became a guardian of a new way of life in this country. The guardian angel always works through service, through giving, through sharing, through contributing various virtues. In the ancient times, the people like Pythagoras had their spirits. Pythagoras was regarded as an embodiment of Apollo. He also had an attendant muse that was with him. Each of these people, according to legends, were guided by mysterious beings that accompanied them. It was a muse, or it was maybe a guardian angel, that appeared to the Emperor Julian and told him to take the purple. He only reigned for less than 2 years, but the angel told him that was his duty. Others have probably inspired men like Luther to retire into banishment and spend his life translating the Bible. But wherever there is a labor to be done, it is the progress of the soul in man that makes that labor possible. Growth comes from the soul, not from the mind or the body. And the growth that comes from the soul has always been regarded as the blessing of the guardian angel. So each person in his own way may have this wonderful being working for him and with him and by him in all of the works of life. We certainly realize that in a mysterious way, and according to the early church, when the Christian dispensation was fully established, that it gradually usurped the powers of the guardian angel. And one of the early church fathers said that the guardian angel of the whole world is now the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That the guardian angels have all given their authority to him. But on the other hand, the church admits that he works through the guardian angels also. They bow before him, but they still do his work. So there was this belief in the church, and it has continued to the present time, that man is never left without help. That even when things seem to be so bad, you do not know what to do next, where tragedy seems to move in on every side, that there is not only help, but insight. Another virtue of the guardian angel is insight. Our tendency is to accept and reject without much consideration or thought. We do as we feel like doing, and we try to accept things as we feel about them and not give much attention. But insight is the power of the individual, which when strengthened by faith in the presence of a guardian spirit, the insight is what the guardian angel tells us about the real reason for the things that happen. The guardian angel then gradually brings through conscience and through inner experience the realization that everything that happens to the individual is important. Everything that happens is a discipline of some kind. It is a kind of an initiation into the great mysteries of existence. Every sorrow is an opportunity to grow bigger. Every loss is a gain of some kind. Everything we have is a challenge for use. Everything we lose is something to give up with graciousness and kindness. Every friend is to be cultivated. Every enemy is to be reconverted into friendship. There is nothing negative to be left unchanged. Nothing that is positive to be overlooked. This becomes perhaps the greatest of all Christian disciplines. It becomes perhaps the fulfillment of the whole story that we recognize in the life of Christ. Christ represents to many people some being from God who came to protect people, to save humanity from the weaknesses of their own natures. And this process of saving is not to be fulfilled or cannot be fulfilled unless the Christ in you performs the labor. And in a sense, these guardian angels are the aspects, ministers of the Christ power in man. And they follow the commandments of the New Testament and of the Last Supper and the Sermon on the Mount. For the guardian angel tells us to keep the rules. The guardian angel says, forgive your enemy. Now we don't have to forgive the enemy. We have the power of limited determinism, as St. Thomas Aquinas called it. We don't have to forgive the enemy. But if we do not forgive the enemy, we have lost contact with truth. Something is lost in us. Something has been done that has defiled us. We have not fulfilled that which our highest spiritual dedication should make necessary. We have allowed personal things, animosities, antagonisms, jealousies, revenges, to take over, all of which are abominations, as they are called in the Bible. Therefore, that we all are trying to do is to find the courage to follow conscience, to follow the integrities of life, and to go on according to the spirit of our faith, a spirit which depends for its perfection, its manifestation, and its fulfillment upon us. And in that moment, we say, I can't quite make it. I'm not strong enough. There's too much pressure against me. I'm just not big enough to do it. I'm not strong enough. I'm not wise enough. I haven't enough insight to forgive this person who has injured me so long. I can't get over the grief or the grudge or something of this nature. Well, if we are perfectly quiet under those conditions and just let nature have its own way, the guardian angel will help. It will come in as the period of conscience. It will kind of reveal to us all of the elements and factors that are necessary to a proper adjustment. First, it will calm the antagonisms. It will help us to realize that these attitudes are not of God, but belong, if to anything, to the anti-God or antichrist. That there is nothing to be gained by perpetuating evil. And then perhaps we will say to the conscience, but I'd like to, but I can't forget. I can never forget what has happened. And the guardian angel says, don't forget. Understand. And if you do that, you will probably find that you can transform the injury into soul power and soul growth. And when you do that, the guardian angel will pat you lightly on the back and let you know that you have succeeded in something. So it's kind of nice to think about the idea that there's someone around that is on our side of almost anything, as long as we are on the side of truth. If we can be on the side of the realities of life, there's always something that's with us, something invisible, but something real. Perhaps we want to call it the higher part of ourselves. Perhaps we want to think of it only as the soul which we have received from God. Perhaps we'd like to think of it as an elder brother somewhere, or an older sister who's kind of watching over, or a kind of spiritual parent who never fails. But whatever we want to consider it, the belief in a guardian angel has undoubtedly contributed a great deal to the moral growth of mankind. Whether it's demonstrable or provable or not, it is a beautiful necessity. It is something we're all better for believing, whereas doubts and negative attitudes do nothing to help. They do not give us any further strength or insight with which to labor for the perfection of our society or the advancement of our own ethics. It is therefore very good at this time to kind of try to make an acquaintance of this character in yourself. Try to find the guardian angel. All you have to do to find it is to be quiet for a moment and think a beautiful thought, and it's there. Just don't give up the attitudes of a being that is all love and is with you always, and therefore is always available to express itself in your own love for all values that are right, and for all duties that need the doing. I think that's in the spirit of Christmas, and I hope it's kind of, you know, touches things up a little bit. Tomorrow we're going to have some activities here this afternoon. At 1:30, so don't forget to be here.